Sometimes we go through the wipings of God to get rid of the bulk, waste, the things that impede, the things that distract, in order that He can cleanse, in order that He can make us clean, in order that He can plant in us another mind. And it's a struggle, depending oftentimes on how strong our persons are, how willful we are, what we have to go through. And yet all of us know the truth of it. And here's another reminder from this portion of Scripture. This man is going to face the disciplinary hand of God. Now, the keynote of God's first coming into this world was, have another mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Have another mind and be converted and have your sins forgiven. Repent. That word rang out in the early ministry of the church. Now he's saying the same thing. In order to get him to have another mind, he has to fall into the hands of an enemy. Now we have no doubt that Habakkuk is the prophet at this particular time. And the book of Kings tells us that the prophet spoke and warned. Simply here, in verse 10 of our reading, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. You see, God gave them a chance to listen to the prophet. God gave them a chance to listen to his word. God gave them the opportunity, and if this man Manasseh had only softened his spirit and listened and then had another mind and went back into a right relationship with God, the matter would have been settled, but he would not. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. This is an Assyrian king, and there was only one Assyrian king that made Babylon an outpost. And so we know who the name of the king was, and it's historically recorded. Whether or not the prophet is saying that Manasseh had run to flee and was in the thorns or a thicket, that's kind of a questionable matter. This word thorns could also be translated, he hooked him. And some of our more recent translations have taken that. And the idea is that just as they would catch a fish with a hook and string him on a hook, that this is exactly what God has done, and that this hook became the idea of a torture for regal persons, that they actually ran a hook through his nose and led him back in brass irons on his hands and feet with a fish hook in his nose. I really don't think that has historical accuracy. It's rather the symbolism of what they do with the animal that runs a hook through his nose and you control that animal and put him into a bondage by that. That's what they did by putting these brass fetters upon the hands and the feet of this king and transporting him back. And he was not only humiliated, he was in pain, he bore grief of soul. What it was for him to be thrown into the dungeon in this Babylonian prison. And you'll notice in verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. And now God reveals to us. You see, he knew what he was doing, because he knew to whom he had to go. He had chosen a wrong pathway. His mind was set in the wrong direction. And like many of us, we've gone through these experiences, haven't we? And God has to bring us to a difficult time before there is enlightenment and we have another mind, another set of thinking to change our pathway. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and notice, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. It's hard for some of us to be humble. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It was the goodness of God that had him captive, because that's what led him to repent. Now, he wouldn't have thought of it, but that's the only good way that God could reach him. God does not want to do that to us. He doesn't want us to put into such wretched circumstances. He wants us as intelligent people sitting in a congregation after we've heard the praise of our Lord and sung his adoration and know what God wants for us to voluntarily, willingly have another mind and say, yes, Lord, I have sinned. I am wrong. And to humble ourselves before him greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he, that is, Jehovah God, was entreated and heard his supplication. The goodness of our God. A man who was so wicked. A young man who chose such a willful pathway. A young man who twisted around all the goodness of God and persevered in a wicked path, and yet God still wants him to have another mind. Still desires him to change his pathway. And that's what we urge for you today. Each of us, knowing what our disposition and our life, if God convicts us of something that we know should not be there, humbly accept his word. Turn to him quietly in our own spirit and ask for another mind. Ask him to give us the grace to repent. Give us the strength to do the pathway we know is right. That'll be freeing and blessing and strengthening and encouraging. The goodness of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God, who is not only tolerated with this man, but this has happened and recorded that you and I could learn. Hezekiah was a fine man, but his child turned out to be willful and rebellious and resistant. But God did not give him up. He persevered until he humbled him enough that he would turn to him and ask God for the blessing and help and deliverance. God does that in a variety of ways, and he's willing to do that for some of us today, right now, if we will but say, yes, I've taken other things and put them in your place, my mind has gone in the wrong direction, I'm absorbed with things that do not have anything to do with you, I'm worshiping in effect, my rebellion is just like witchcraft, and my stubbornness is just like all the other blasphemous practices that the world could be equal of. Lord, I'm not as bad, and I'm not doing these things, but I'm just as bad. Lord, help me to see my own sin. And that kind of inner disposition, spoken to God, between you and the Lord, he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed unto him, and God was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God has his ways of humbling us and bringing us under conviction. He besought the Lord, he humbled himself, he prayed, and then he came to know the Lord, and God immediately restores that man to be the king and brought him back into his kingdom. How he moved in the heart of the Assyrian king, the circumstances are all irrelevant. They're unimportant for the truth. We need a new mind. Most of us, if we're honest, we need to possess a new perspective, a new heart. Have another mind. God is almost saying that to all of us. Have another mind. Rescue yourself from the dilemma and the deluge of the things of this world. Have another mind. Humble yourself. See that other things have taken place in your heart and life that shouldn't be there. Confess them. Acknowledge them. And then, Lord, cleanse me. Restore me. Bring me into a right relationship with you. The Apostle Paul reasoned to a very intellectual company in Athens after he gave a remarkable discourse on idolatry. And he says, and the Lord God commanded all men everywhere to have another mind. And the proof of it is he's appointed a day in which he will judge those that have not changed their mind about God. And the proof of his judgment is that he's raised Jesus from the dead. Now you know historically that's a fact. And that's the validating proof that you and I will face a judgment unless we have another mind. And now is the time, in the time of God's patience, in the time of God's wonderful care, in the time of his long-suffering graciousness, say, Lord, help me. Save my soul. Deliver my life. Receive the word of God with meekness, and it will save your soul. And that disposition toward God, you've come here to a service. You've asked God to speak in prayer. We joined our brother when he asked that the Lord would speak to our hearts. Now he is speaking, and now is the time to seal it and make it real. And in quietness in the solitude of your own soul before God, Lord, give me another mind. Now, when the service is over and we're all leaving, if you're not sure or you want some help, I would love to sit down with you from the Word of God and help you to be sure you know your sins are forgiven, that eternity is yours, God is your Savior, and that we can have that great joy of knowing our sins forgiven. So those of us who are His own, we pray. And each of us should speak to God quietly in prayer. Lord, give me another mind. Help me in my life to walk the pathway that You want. Restore me to that place that You want me to be in, to be a source of blessing, that our lives would be an honor and a glory and a tool in His hand. For after all, He is such a loving God. Won't you have another mind? I pray so. Won't you turn in your hymnal with me to sing? Just two verses of hymn number 361. It's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? Come, and thy sin confessing, to Him thy Savior bow. You'll notice you sing the two verses of the chorus and then go up to where the little DS is and repeat that last line of the verse, the final part of the chorus. Just verses 1 and 2. All together.
Only a step to Jesus, and why not take it now? My Savior bow. Only a step, only a step. Come, He waits for thee. Come and thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy He freely offers thee.
To help to you and you would like to do something publicly or openly while we're singing this last hymn, or the last verse, verse 2, we'd be glad for you to just step out from your chair and come up, and we'd like to pray with you, show you from the Word of God that you can have a right relationship with Him. But if not, then do talk to me. Don't leave, not sure. We want to be a source of blessing and help to you. Verse 2 is the last.
Only a step to Jesus, believe and thou shalt live. Lovingly now He's waiting and ready to forgive. Only a step, only a step. Come, He waits for thee. Come and thy sin
loving God and Father, we are thankful that Thou hast preserved in Holy Scripture the lessons that we so need even for today. We do pray that each of us would have the joy of having another mind, one that is fresh, seeking to serve Thee, seeking to be in a right relationship with Thee and a vehicle of blessing to others. Holy Father, we pray for those that are not yet aware that they are in need of a Savior. We pray that Thy Holy One would do His good work of conviction, giving faith, bringing and turning souls to Thyself. Bless Thy Word, our Father, and allow us who are Thine own to have the joy and the refreshing encouragement, making our lives right and clean and healthy and restored and in fellowship with Thee. We would thank Thee for another mind. Bless Thy word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.